Hey everyone, welcome back. We've got a lot to unpack today.
Yeah,
You know, I was
definitely.
looking over the market news and analysis from today, March 17th, 2025, and really our goal in this deep dive is to, move past just the daily headlines and try to understand those big forces that are shaping things and then what it all means for you.
Absolutely.
And I'm seeing like a real mix here, right? We had a strong finish on Friday. But then futures today are looking a bit shaky. And then you have some positive signs globally, but then definite concerns here at home.
You hit the nail on the head. It really is this contrast, Friday's rally, it was a welcome boost, I think it's safe to say. But seeing those futures today, kind of subdued, I think it indicates that, those concerns, they haven't really gone away. It just highlights how volatile things are right now.
It does.
So the big question, right, and the one you really want to think about is, was Friday the beginning of a real turnaround, or was it just kind of a temporary bounce, in a bigger downtrend?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. It
Well,
is.
so let's dig into that Friday rally a bit more.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the S&P was up over 2%, the Dow gained almost 2%, and the Nasdaq jumped over 2.5%. I mean, after a tough week like we had, a single day surge like that.
It gets your attention.
It does. It makes you wonder what was driving that optimism,
Absolutely. A move of that size, it feels significant, right? But then you step back and you look at it within the context of, four straight weeks of losses. It does underscore just how choppy, the market is right now. It makes you wonder what fueled that Friday optimism and why it seems to be fading so fast.
And that kind of brings us to today's futures, right? Because if that Friday energy was real, you'd think you'd see it kind of continuing. But we're not. We're seeing red across the board this morning. Dow, S&P, Nasdaq, all pointing to a lower open. It almost feels like whatever sparked that rally, it might have been short-lived, or maybe even new concerns are coming into play.
It's possible. The dip in futures, I mean, it's an early signal, right? It gives us a peek into how investors think the market's going to behave when trading actually opens. And the fact that they're down, I think it suggests that underlying caution, it's tied to a lot of things. The economic uncertainties, the geopolitical uncertainties, I think that's still a major factor. So, thinking about it, what specific uncertainties do you think might be, top of mind for the market right now?
Well, the information we have points to a few domestic issues that are pretty worrisome. I mean, starting with, this pretty big drop in consumer sentiment. We're talking a 27% year-over-year decline, and this is according to the University of Michigan's index. It's actually hit its lowest point since late 2022, so that feels like a pretty big red flag.
It is. I mean, consumer sentiment, it's a key indicator. It tells us how people feel about their financial future, about the overall economy. It directly affects how willing they are to spend. And a steep drop like that, I mean, it usually means people are worried about inflation eating away at their purchasing power, worried about a potential slowdown in the economy. And that pessimism, it can have a ripple effect. You see it in everything from retail sales to business investment. And ultimately, it can come back and hit your own personal finances, through how your investments perform or even job security.
And then on top of that, we have this return of trade tensions. President Trump's announcing new tariffs on both the EU and China. And we've seen this before, haven't we? These kind of announcements, they can really throw the markets for a loop.
Oh, absolutely. Trade policies like tariffs, I mean, they just inject so much uncertainty into the global economy. It can disrupt those existing supply chains, lead to higher costs for businesses and consumers. And in the end, it can actually hinder global growth. So any news that suggests a potential trade war, it's going to make investors nervous.
Of course, of course.
And that can lead to market swings that directly hit your portfolio.
And then you have Treasury Secretary Bessent calling these recent market corrections healthy.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It is. So let's unpack that a bit. What could that mean?
Okay, so when you hear a Treasury secretary use that word healthy to describe, market corrections, I think it often serves like two purposes. First, it's an attempt to to calm investors down, right?
Sure.
Prevent any panic during a downturn.
Okay. Okay.
But secondly, and maybe more importantly, it could be a signal, you know, about how the Fed is viewing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they seeing these pullbacks as just normal adjustments within a longer economic cycle?
Right.
And if so, does that mean they're not going to intervene? You know, no big changes to monetary policy, like interest rate cuts or anything.
So the market's trying to read between the lines there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So that's a lot to think about. Now, shifting gears a little, the information we have also mentions that we're expecting earnings reports today from Kifu Technology, SAIC, and Shonda Interactive Entertainment. So should we be paying attention to how these companies do?
Oh, absolutely. You know, while those bigger trends, the economic and geopolitical stuff kind of sets the overall mood, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Those individual company earnings reports, they give you a more focused look, right? Kind of a sector specific perspective.
Okay.
So for example, how Kifu Technology does, that could give us some clues about the fintech sector and potentially how China's economic policies are impacting things there.
Makes sense.
With SAI, their results, they might show us trends in government spending in the tech services industry. And then you have Shonda Interactive. They're in entertainment, so their performance, it might tell us something about consumer spending.
So are you saying these reports could actually move the market?
Well, you know, the results from just a few companies, they're not going to dictate where the entire market goes.
Sure.
But if there are any big surprises, you know, good or bad, that can definitely shift investor sentiment, at least within those specific sectors.
Right.
And sometimes it can even have a broader ripple effect. They're real data points, right? They can either confirm or challenge that overall market narrative that's out there.
Right, right. Okay, so we've looked at what's happening domestically.
Yeah.
What about globally? Are we seeing, you know, similar trends, or are there any notable differences?
This is where it gets interesting, I think, because globally, you know, the market sentiment is kind of all over the place.
Okay.
We're seeing that caution reflected in the U.S. futures, right?
Yeah.
But then you look at Asian equities, specifically the Nikkei and the Hang Seng, and they've had some pretty big gains. And this seems to be directly tied to what China's doing, you know, those measures they're taking to try to boost domestic consumption.
Hmm. So while we're worried about consumer sentiment weakening here,
yeah,
they're trying to actively stimulate it.
Right.
And their markets are responding.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, if these efforts by China are successful, it could be a real positive for those markets, which would be, you know, in stark contrast to some of the domestic worries that we've been talking about. I think it really highlights how important it is to have a diversified investment strategy globally,
yeah,
you know, so you can balance out those regional economic swings.
Right, right. Now that makes sense. And what about Europe? I know the report mentioned slight increases in European futures,
mm-hmm,
and the euro holding near a 5-month high. So what's the story there?
Yeah, I think that points to a certain level of stability in Europe.
Right.
Maybe even some underlying optimism. The fact that Germany's pushing those fiscal initiatives, you know, that probably helps. It signals that they're trying to support economic growth.
Right.
And then the euro, the fact that it's relatively strong,
yeah,
that can also reflect investor confidence in how the European economy is going to do. So while we have U.S. futures down, you know, parts of Asia and Europe, they seem to be holding up better.
Yeah.
And I think what it tells us is, yeah, the global economy, it's all connected. Yeah. But different regions, they can experience very different things at the same time.
Sure.
You know, which can create both opportunities and risks for your investments.
Makes sense. And then we have the commodity markets. Oil prices are up and gold is still pretty high. So how do those pieces fit into this whole puzzle we're looking at?
Yeah, well, with oil, you know, both Brent and WTI crude are up over 1%.
Right.
And it seems to be a combination of things driving it. You know, the report mentions these ongoing geopolitical tensions, and those always have the potential to disrupt oil supply, right?
Right.
But then you also have that optimism around China and their efforts to boost consumption.
Hmm.
So that suggests that, you know, demand for oil could go up, which would put upward pressure on prices.
Well, you have both supply and demand potentially playing a role there.
Exactly. And then you have gold, you know, it's staying strong near record highs, and that's usually a sign that uncertainty in the market is still there. You know, gold is often seen as a safe haven asset, so when investors are feeling uneasy about the economy, they tend to buy more gold.
which drives up the price.
Exactly. So even with some positive signals out there, you know, those anxieties, I think it's safe to say, they're still lingering in the market.
So it's kind of like we're watching this tug of war play out, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
We had that strong finish on Friday,
mm-hmm.
but then immediately followed by a more cautious outlook today. We have domestic concerns about consumer confidence, trade tensions.
All right.
But then we also have some positive momentum in global markets, especially in Asia.
Right.
And then commodities, you know, like oil and gold, they're reflecting those geopolitical worries, but also potential shifts in demand. It highlights how sensitive the market is right now to all sorts of things.
It really does. You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is just that how sensitive the market is to so many different risks domestically and internationally. You know, what happens with trade policies, any changes in what the Fed's saying or doing.
Yeah.
And of course, any new economic data that comes out, all of that's going to play a big role in where the market goes in the near term.
So it sounds like we need to be prepared for more volatility.
I think that's a safe bet. It's really important to stay informed and be ready for potential ups and downs in your portfolio.
So we've got this rebound within a downtrend, right?
Yeah.
We have that contrast between domestic caution and some optimism globally.
Yeah.
And then all these different factors at play, you know, consumer sentiment, trade, monetary policy, global events. It's all interacting.
Yeah.
So given all of that, given these mixed signals and sometimes conflicting signals, what specific indicators are you going to be watching most closely in the coming days and weeks to kind of get a better read on where the market's really headed? Mm-hmm. Because that's a question I think we all need to be thinking about as we try to navigate these complex and ever-changing market conditions. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.